Okay, this morning our public reading was from Psalm 77, and I've asked the congregation before reading it to look for any word or concept that seems to be repeated by the psalmist. And I've asked the question, and one is given the answer, and it was the proper answer. The concept of the idea of the word to remember, this idea of remembering. But in verses 7, 8, and 9, we saw almost like the very heartbeat that motivated this particular psalm, and that was what's called holy complaining. Look at verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? Just a simple question. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Verse 8. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Beloved, these are things that we as a church and as individual Christians, our faith latches on to who God is and what he is. He's a God, beloved, who will never cast off forever. He is a God who is most favorable for the sake of his for the sake of his people. And his mercy, is God's mercy gone forever? God forbid. These are concepts of who he is that in the time of our crisis, we reach out to those. Those are the concepts that are within him that sustains us during the death of a spouse, or the sickness of a spouse, or the loss of a job, or the loss of one's health. We latch on to these concepts of who he is to enable us to get through the day. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? God forbid. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I respond, God forbid. But there are times in our lives that the Lord will take us into a journey whereby we go into a tunnel and all that we see is the darkness. God seems to be so way out there while we're all the way down here, and our prayers seem to go no higher than the ceiling and they ricochet off the walls. There are times and seasons when the devil would want you and I to think that God has forgotten us or he has forgotten me in this present time. And so verses 7, 8, and 9 is something that the Christian needs to exercise at times when you believe or when you feel, when you sense that you're in a tunnel and there's no light at either end. Lord, where are you at this hour? Do you not see me at this very hour in my life in this particular predicament? Lord, are you there? Do you even hear my cry? And so the reformers taught, when they recaptured what the Catholic Church had buried for 1,000 years, this concept of holy complaining. But then, as we read this, as you go from verses 10 onward, his holy venting turns around to holy acknowledgement and praise to the God whom he knows, whose mercy and grace is always there, even in that tunnel. But notice verse 3. How do you go from complaining to praising? I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. The first thing the psalmist wants us to see, that there's going to be more than one season in your life when God will have you providentially in that tunnel. It's not simply a one good deal and then you've passed the test and you can run to heaven. No, there may be times and seasons in our individual lives where God will put us in a tunnel just to test your faith, not tempt. Tempting's different. Testing, when God tests you and I, he wants to bring out the best that he has put in you when he saved you. Look at verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Sometimes the Christian, when they're in that tunnel, when they feel that God is way out there and they're way down here and God just doesn't seem to care, One of the things that the child of God, one of his safe places is to lie at night on his bed and contemplate the other times that you were in the tunnel. And God did deliver you at that time. Notice also in verse 10, when he comes out of his stupor, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Notice, he mentions his infirmity, whatever the situation was in the life of Asaph at this time. Maybe he was finding it a hard time to compose another song, another music for the temple services. Maybe his mind, maybe the tune wasn't there. Maybe the words weren't coming. Whatever it was that was aggravating, there was something that was getting to this man to the point he goes into a holy complaint. But then he said, this is my infirmity. And I said, this is my infirmity. This is what I'm going through. This is my complaint. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy works of old. Notice the concept that while you're in the tunnel, while you're being tested, why everything and the pressures of life seem to be squeezing you into a vice, the Christian is to remember, I was once here before, and the Lord rescued me. I can trust the hand of my God who has now brought me in this present tunnel of infirmity. I'm here, but he's never abandoned me. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, I will never leave you as an orphan. God doesn't dump his people like friends and families and neighbors may dump you and I. So, beloved, I want you to walk away with Psalm 77. Number one, God providentially will put you and I in a tunnel. God will come and test your faith. And he'll use any agency to test your faith. It may be a friend, it may be a family member, it may be a co-worker, it may be your spouse. But in that testing, God is going to bring out of it, out of you, the good that he's put in there. And what's the best thing that God has put within you? The Holy Spirit. And all the graces and all the beauty and all the charms of being a Christian will come out for all to see after your holy complaining. So you can complain to God. Now, it's one thing to do holy complaining. It's another thing to be like the atheist and shove a fist in God's face. That's uh-uh. But to simply vent, Lord, do you hear me? Lord, are you there? Well, you find that in the Psalms. And God doesn't get angry. God doesn't come down and slap Asaph across the lips and say, how dare you say that? No, God receives not only the praises of his people, but he also receives their complaint as well. So may God choose to bless his word.